Ciao, St. Louis. Welcome to Ledone. I'm Diane Langeneckert, part of a team, but my team member, Loretta Vitale April, is nursing a very, very sore knee. She's just had surgery for a meniscus tear. Not fun. Told her to stay home. Also, we were going to have a special guest today, Gus Terragrosa, who was going to come and talk about the old neighborhood, the Sicilians, my people. And told him to stay home too. Weren't sure what the roads were going to be like. They're actually not bad right now. It's quite beautiful outside, but if you don't have to go out, stay home. Take advantage of your time off. In a few minutes, I will be joined by the director of the Hill Welcome Center, Lynn Marie Alexander. She is with some neighborhood folks right now talking. Please talk to me. I am terrified right now. I have no idea what I'm going to talk about except me, and that can be really, really boring. But in spite of my last name, I am Sicilian. I'm adopted. Just this year, the circle was complete. I found out my name, Cataldo. It's been a journey. If you know anybody who's adopted, or if you are adopted parents, be prepared someday for the questions. Who am I? I want to go looking. In my case, it was good and bad, but I've gotten used to it. And enough about me. Here's Lynn Marie Alexander. Welcome.
Hello. Hello. Sure. I was doing my other job.
Yes.
We are as the Neighborhood Center. I'm the director of the Neighborhood Center, and I was just having a chat with a couple gentlemen who also happen to be my next door neighbors, but they are long time residents of the Hill, as were their parents and grandparents. And we were just kind of catching up on the news of the Hill and, you know, what's going on here and what's going on there. So I just wanted to be sure to tell everyone that we will be having Christmas on the Hill, and that will be on December 15th.
That's set in stone, right?
Yes, as far as I know right now. yes, it's set in stone, as far as I understand, at this point in time.
There's a Hill 2000 meeting?
Yes, there's a Hill 2000 general meeting tonight at 7 o'clock, and it is at the St. Ambrose School Cafeteria. But back to Christmas on the Hill, the one thing that I am pretty darn sure about that's going to happen is that we always have a nativity display, and each of the storefronts, and then some people with the windows who are, like eye level right there, they will put out their nativities, and they have some sort of Italian theme to them. And they are beautiful. They're absolutely gorgeous. So if nothing else, it's worth just a walk to kind of go through and see what's on display.
Are you at liberty to talk about what could be part of the festivities, or would you rather not at this point?
I would say to get the most detailed information at this point, probably go to the Hill Facebook page.
Okay.
That's probably the best place that you're going to find information.
Well, can you believe a week from today, Thanksgiving?
My gosh, no.
Oh, my God. It was just August.
It was just
the bike races.
Yes, exactly.
Snowy and turkey. So what are you doing?
So today is very quiet, of course, at the center. And so I'm helping you out.
Yes.
But
built-in guest.
Yes, I am a built-in guest. As long as your readers don't write in and say, can you get that chick off of it?
She's always on.
Anyway, what I'm doing is that I'm finishing up, and then I'm going to leave up for a little while our Clubs of the Hill display. And it's just a wonderful display showing the kinds of things that the young men and some young women did. And I believe we talked about this last time, didn't we?
We touched briefly on it, but these were sports clubs?
They were sports clubs. They were just groups of friends clubs. And they were generally sort of geographically located. So like on any one block, you could have two clubs, one on either end, and or two in the middle. But what was so great about them is that when you belonged to a club, you usually stayed in that club. These were boys that you knew. and they would get a clubhouse. Now, whether that was somebody's garage or somebody's basement, there was even a couple guys at one time, Macklin Field was still being used as a dump, the far end of it. And so they would go in there because also the mines were there still. So they would go there, and the cutest story is one of these clubs would take those old gas station plates, the ones that were metal in the middle and porcelain on the outside,
yes.
And nice and heavy. So they would take those, and they would take discarded license plates, and they would build a clubhouse out of that.
So, little shanty.
That's right. And that was their place. And that's where they would go to hang out. Some of them were far more elaborate, and they had rules. For example, they couldn't put their feet on the furniture and things like that. Can you imagine a bunch of guys enforcing rules that you can't be putting feet on the furniture?
Maybe just to have a rule.
Yes. You just didn't do it. Yes. but that shows a level of respect for what they have created. And that kind of respect is underlying through all of these, is the respect for the friendship, the respect for the community and the neighborhood. Now, I'm not saying these boys didn't, you know, get up to mischief. You know, I love another story that I just heard is that these guys would do all kinds of fun things that are just like boy things. So they would tie each other up in rope or whatever and roll each other down the hill to River to Pear.
Oh, wow.
Like, why? It's because they're boys, little boys. Right? So as they grew up, though, the other feature to these clubs were that they did have monthly meetings. They paid a dues. Sometimes it was a penny a week or even a penny a month, because, I mean, some of these guys were genuinely quite poor. So
what was the money used for?
To upkeep the clubhouse. Oh. And also just, you know, as their treasure, you know, as like their little kitty treasure chest for the club. And they would find a corporate sponsor, and they would play sports. And so they had kind of like an intramural league going on with softball and baseball and soccer and ping pong and bowling as well. We used to have a bowling alley here just by Southwest Bank, more or less. And they would, so they played these games, and it's no wonder some of these boys were playing from when they were very, very young, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, because their older brothers were in that club. And, you know, that's Tiger Woods, for example. One of the features of him is he started playing golf when he was 5 or maybe even as little as 3.
There's old television footage on, I think, the was Merv Griffin show or somebody's show. And he's this high.
Yes, exactly.
This, you know, club this long.
Yes. Yes, playing. And that, so that translates into people like Yogi Berra and Joe Garagiola. But we also have wonderful soccer players who made it to the 1950 World Cup. Those guys had also been playing since they were very young. We even have, I mean, it's not just limited to soccer and baseball. We've had 2 professional football players. So one Ben Pucci played for the Cleveland Browns for a few years. So the idea of athleticism, and taking a step back sociologically, what a great way to channel all of that energy.
Yes.
for
productively.
Yes, productively for young boys, rather than getting into trouble and
right.
Really getting up to mischief. And then finally, the other feature to this is that each one of the clubs had a corporate sponsor, if you will. So it could be the cleaners or the local undertaker or the local grocery, all of them, or the refrigeration company. All of them had a sponsor, and that person would pay for their uniforms. So they had proper uniforms, and then on the back would be the name of the sponsor. So the community was invested in this activity just as much as the boys were.
Well, how did that translate? Because I'm sure there were, like, we know Yogi and Joe, their talents. But as far as the other ones, people outside had to take notice of this.
They did. They did. Where are you going with that question?
Yeah.
Where are you going with that question?
So, well, outside of those two and others, there are other, there's a Cory League, a softball Cory League, and other organizations. Did anybody come in and take from these clubs into their organizations?
Oh, sure. Yes. Yes, of course. The Steamers, for example, if you remember the Steamers, they were the indoor soccer. So we have a couple young men, not young anymore, but they were at the time, who were professional indoor soccer players. And they were, because St. Louis, and especially the Hill, was recognized as having exceptional soccer players, they were always, the outside, if you will, was always kind of looking in to see, to scout the talent, and wherever they may be. So like Ben Pucci ending up in Cleveland, for example. Is that what you were asking?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I would think, you know, somebody would have to notice. And those who maybe were able to go on to college, not
yes.
everybody was, or
yes.
university.
Yes.
St. Louis University, for example.
Yes. Yes. St. Louis University was quite active in drawing young men off of the Hill into their sports programs, as women as well. The friends of Yogi always tell the story that there was a woman who lived down the street, or she was their same age, so a young girl lived down the street from them, and she was actually a better softball player, baseball player than all of them, and then all of the boys. And so you know, I think it's because the women didn't get to be recognized in the same way and didn't have those opportunities, those professional opportunities. We forget that there were some superly talented women on the Hill athletically, as well as other pursuits as well.
So they had their own clubs too?
Some of them did. Some of them were sort of like an adjunct to the men. So the Wildcats and the Kittens. And so the Kittens those women kind of hung out, and they had their own clubhouse too. So they hung out, and then they were solo, but the Wildcats would have their dances or whatever. The Kittens were always there. But then there was another society that wasn't necessarily sports geared, but it was called the Grail. And the Grail Society, they were much more sort of artistic. So they were excellent singers. They did a lot of their intensive community work, volunteering, and that sort of thing. Excuse me.
Great. And this has been up. How long will this display? There are photos. There are
descriptions.
Yes. Of the different clubs.
Yes, and a uniform.
A uniform.
Yes. Yes.
Very
proper uniform.
Smart.
Yes. Yes, it is. But it's amazing because the quality of the material, I mean, that's why it still lasts, I think.
It's a knit material, too.
It is, yes. It's two different kinds. The pants are just a canvas, and then the top is like pre-polyester something. It's not all cotton, but it's a heavy weave. I can't imagine playing softball in a St. Louis summer in that, but baseball.
I know. And I think of nuns in the St. Louis summer. Well, I don't know about, we had, speaking of women athletics, some of the best athletes I ever came across were the nuns at my school.
Oh my goodness, yes.
And just,
yes.
I was like, why? I guess only because of the time period they didn't have that
avenue.
Outlet. Yeah.
Yes, right. Yes, that's unfortunate. But today, it's much better.
Much better.
Much better today, and getting better. Right.
Yes.
So yes, the Hill display, and it has a lot of pictures and a description and kind of a little bit more sociologically how it impacted St. Louis. But then by extension, you can see these kinds of programs, which initially were started by the YMCA, how these kinds of programs were instituted throughout the country. And so it was addressing the wave of juvenile delinquency and again giving them a creative outlet and a place to play and do and be rather than getting in trouble.
And obviously very fully embraced.
Yes. Oh my God, the guys had a blast. They absolutely did. And they still meet today, which I just love.
Oh,
that.
My gosh.
So the club members that are still alive, they'll meet up once a month, once every 3 months, to have lunch and just to kind of chat. And so it's great. It's great that that's also a lovely feature to this, is that the friendships that were bonded in childhood continue even today.
Well, of course, any club, there are certain discipline that you have to follow.
Yes.
And we've talked about the sports, but has this affected any of them in terms of what their careers were like business, that kind of thing? Do you know if that had any influence?
I mean, I guess perhaps just the idea of the discipline, We've had so many extremely successful men and women on the Hill. Things like president of Loyola University, who actually is a priest, but he grew up on the Hill. So we have a lot of examples of that that seem to be concentrated in a pretty small place. And I think it's due back to the immigrant idea of being hard work, and hard work is what will pay off.
And this is America, and we have to make the most of it.
Yes, and the parents...
It's your second chance.
That's right, that's right. And the parents pushing their kids and wanting them to go to school and wanting them to succeed, because they understood that if their kids did that, that they would have a better life. And I know that that's not necessarily unique to the Hill, but it is a very treasured feature here. You know, that it's almost expected. And then to add to that, it's not just education, it's also entrepreneurship. We have a lot of small business owners that some of them have grown their businesses to have hundreds of employees, and they've grown it from just one or two people. So if they're not being entrepreneurial, then they're being professional. So that kind of expectation and discipline, and a small element of, you know, you don't bring shame to your family, you bring pride to your family.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, one of those people who did that is a woman we want to talk about, Eleanor Vera Marfisi.
Yes.
Who I've only talked to when she was alive a little bit at book signings and things like that, but just what a treasure.
Yes, yes. I did not know her personally, so I can't really speak to her too much, but I can tell you the impact of the book. But then you've read the book, so let's hear what you think.
Go ahead. Okay. It's been a while since I've read it, but this was really my first introduction to her and to Italians as such. And she just writes so beautifully about them. I mean, this book is just a pride joy. And I've seen people trying to get these books now.
Yes.
And they're very hard to come by.
They are hard to come by.
They haven't been, I mean, it's not been that long.
Right, right. And I think usually they finally end up trying to find them on Amazon, and that's kind of a hit or miss kind of thing, or eBay is a hit or miss kind of thing. But they are, as you said, no longer in print. So this one is the second of her two recipe books. So these books are recipe and history. And this one is St. Louis Italians, The Hill and Beyond. And what she does is she gives us some history in there, just generally about The Hill.
But then, great photographs.
Yeah. Oh, the photographs are phenomenal. And notable Italians of St. Louis. But then she gives some small vignettes, like, of course, the obvious Yogi Berra and Joe Garagiola. But then she also tells us about the shopkeepers, our entrepreneurs, once again, the shopkeepers and what the Hill was like, and the development of the church, which is just so important as the sort of the anchor to the entire community. And then she goes into some of the restaurants as well. And the restaurants tells about the history of the families that started the restaurants, the impact that the restaurants have had, and then, of course, most importantly, if you're a foodie at all, the recipes.
The recipes, yes.
Right? And it's not just one from a restaurant. It's a whole meal.
The restaurants are very generous in offering up these recipes.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So if you're in the mood for chicken cannelloni, the place to go is Giantoni's. And so she has, I mean, this is just one example. She has a picture of the chef. Also, I'm sorry. I don't know if you can see this picture at all. Probably not, but it's our Giantoni, I can't remember his name, and they're terrible. But his picture has a hippie. It's too good. But and again, back to this idea of hard work. Now, that is still a hard-working individual.
And in the restaurant business, period, I started out working at Pope's Cafeteria, if you remember that. And just even doing what I did, it's hard. But to try to have the business... And you can't, but most of your workers are your family members.
Yes, that's true. Yes, absolutely.
And so they better work.
That's right. That's right. That's the expectation. So I apologize. His name is Tony. I'm going to butcher it. It's a little bit of a stage fright on my part. I am so sorry.
Katerina Nietzsche. Fascia?
Yes.
Something like that.
Yes. Oh, gosh. Oh, we're going to hear about this, aren't we?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry. See, well, that's off the cuff. That's right. That's right. Well, no one's listening then. The other one that is a truly lovely book that Mrs. Marfisi made is I Remember Nona. And so as a master storyteller, as she is, she went through and kind of just gave, again, vignettes and a bit of history about mothers on the hill and grandmothers and the roles that they played, the many roles that they played. Because they worked too. We kind of forget that. We tend to think back and think, oh, well, you know, it was a bunch of June Cleavers. Hardly.
But these were the women who were on the ships that came over.
Yes.
That gave up the old line.
Yes.
For something new and unknown.
Unknown. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then when they got here, they worked. So, you know, the whole idea of having a mom that worked, or being, what is it called, a latchkey kid,
yeah.
Right? Oh, my. Well, I mean, but then that comes back to our clubs, because if mom's not home, I mean, of course, older siblings, the neighbors always watching what you're doing. But, you know, this gives the kids something to do until the parents do get home, was to hang out at their clubs. And then the parents always knew where they were as well. So, you know, midwifery, mm-hmm. The women...
Just at the street.
Yes. Yes. Volpe Salami, Mrs. Volpe. So she's past, 30 years now or more. But she was one of the most well-known midwives on the hill at the time. Oh, more recipes. And yes, she gives more recipes as well. So,
and then she has a book. I cannot think the name of it, but it's red leather bound and it's poetry.
Yeah.
Exquisite.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get your hands on that,
mm-hmm.
buy it, keep it, treasure it.
I know what I was going to say about the women cooking. One of the I mean, they always did the cooking for St. Joseph's altar. They also, or some other kinds of events like that. But if any of you remember Big Club Hall, that used to be the place to go to have your wedding reception. And again, back to our clubs, they also would have dances there. And part of the deal was that when you would go, you'd get a full meal. It was served family style, but you would get your salad and the salami cheese with the bread. And then you would get ravioli and chicken and beef, or beef and chicken. And it was, I mean, what a spread. So the ravioli were handmade on the day of by these women. Mm. And I mean, can you imagine? These are like 400 or 500 people, and they're making ravioli for that many people. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. So that's the kinds of things that women on the hill did. They gave back to the community as well as to raise their children. And it was not uncommon for kids to be taken in to other families. You know, distant relatives, not so distant relatives, beloved neighbors.
If there was a problem.
But yes, they did not have an issue with raising each other's kids if that was the need.
So. Fascinating.
Let's see, what else? What else can we talk about?
What else?
Again, off the cuff.
Off the cuff, yes. So tell me about the villa.
Oh.
What exactly is a villa versus St. Ambrose?
Okay. The villa has...
I don't know.
It has three grade levels. So it's called the Sacred Heart Villa. It is on, Mackland. And I'm not going to say because I can't. Wilson, I think. Anyway, Sacred Heart Villa. And it started out as Koryezu High School.
Oh, really?
Yes. And after Koryezu moved to a bigger facility, then the villa was formed. And they are a kindergarten. So even though it's the German concept, it's still, that's what they did. So they would watch. They didn't do infants until fairly recently in their history. But they now have three sort of levels. Hmm. So the grade right before first grade, St. Ambrose does that grade. And then the villa does that grade plus two below.
Oh, so it's preschool type of...
Yes, it's a preschool, essentially, yes. And it's still run by the nuns. The Sister Jude is the current nun, so it's, now that's somebody you need to have on this show.
We're working on that, yes.
Good,
yes,
good. She is lovely and a character.
So, most nuns are.
Oh, my gosh, yes, yes. And the one of the most well-known and beloved nuns was Sister Felicetta. And Sister Felicetta, well, just to give you an idea, my mom had Sister Felicetta, I had Sister Felicetta, and my niece had Sister Felicetta. So that's three generations that she's been in place at the villa for. Amazing, absolutely amazing woman. I mean, she talk about it, a real anchor. She made her homemade pasta handmade every day. And yes, amazing. What they do is it's a daycare / kindergarten / preschool, and the kids have activities. They have their teachers. They try to be as well rounded as possible, from arts to the sciences. You know, of course, what you can do for science for little kids, but they have a scheduled nap time, which. Personally, that was always one of my favorites.
Cause I hated it, but my mother said, you're going to learn to want it. She's right.
That's right. And another thing that I remember so well about the villa was their May crowning. And when I'm not going to say how old I am, but anyway, a couple decades ago, they were still using the same dresses. And these dresses were... pastel, and they were lace and kind of knit, and they had you had to wear a petticoat with them, and so they all were flare out. They were pastel pink and blue and yellow, and you would get the size that whatever fits you. And so they reused them every year. Of course, they maintained them very well. And I mean, talk about feeling like a princess, even though I was just one of the kids running around with the dress on. I wasn't like a maid queen or anything like that, but I felt like I was the queen with having that dress on. It was fabulous, just fabulous. And then the boys also, they had the white pants, and I can't remember, some kind of nice jacket as well, which they used every year. But talking about wanting to be a movie star, you walk in and you walk into the costume room. So you get to go and you get to kind of look to see what will fit you and what color they want you in and all of that. So that was just great. And so it's those kinds of memories, of course, that are just fabulous.
A friend of mine, Michelle Ruggieri, has family members' home movies, and there are clips of that.
Yes.
And just fascinating.
Yes.
I couldn't imagine what it wasn't. I didn't know what it was.
Yes.
And it wasn't First Communion or anything like that.
Right. It was May crowning, yes. And they still do it. They still do May crowning. It's not as sort of elaborate as it was in that way, but it's still lovely, lovely. And so if you just look on St. Ambrose's the villa's website, it will tell you when the May crowning is. And they always have a mass to go with it as well. So I heard a click.
Pretty quick, I have, so we don't go over like
yes.
we did last
yes.
time.
You're right.
We have two more minutes left.
Two more minutes, okay.
So anything that you want to say that's coming up, or any suggestions? Oh, coffee.
Yes, that's right. We're starting a new thing here at the Neighborhood Center called Coffee del Posada, which is a cup of the past. And I know I butchered that. Thank you, anyone who speaks Italian. Yes, I know. Anyway, what we're hoping to do is to draw in all members of the community, but since it's during the day, we'll probably have seniors more so. But that's great. We're offering a free coffee and a little mid-morning snack. And just to come in to chat, say hello, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 9 to 11. And around, so not before 9, but stay as long as you want after 11. And there's what to talk about, right? You catch up with each other, of course. But then also being talking about, I have photographs that I could use some help identifying. I have holes in my stories that I need to have filled. So there's just so much that I could learn and document from the people who come here. And it's not personal, you know, I'm not looking for personal histories. No, I'm just sort of looking fun stories and what goes on. And I don't have to be a part of the conversation either. If three people want to have a conversation without me, that's fine too. That's great.
If you know anybody, we suspect that most of the people that will be doing this do not go on Facebook, probably don't even have computers.
Right.
If you could spread the word, we'd really appreciate it.
Yes, yes. And if you happen to have a Tuesday or Thursday morning free, come on down.
It is
so much fun. I mean, just hearing the stories, oh my gosh, you'll walk away with a sore belly from laughing so much.
Well, this has been great.
Yes.
Thank you so much for
You're welcome.
In. Far goes by fast.
It does.
You didn't have to do it, listen to me for half an hour. I don't think I could have done that. We would have had a musical interlude, I'm sure. But thank you very much for joining us this week. And we'll probably try to get Loretta, as she's convalescing, we'll get her on the phone so she can be a part of all of this. I don't know what we'll be doing next Thursday. And that's telling me it's time to go.
Well, next Thursday is
Thanksgiving.
Right.
Nobody will be here.
Right.
So, in the meantime, you will have the Saturday from 10 till 12. We'll have the boys, the Y chromosomes here, for Cha St. Louis, and you'll be listening to music and their banter. And, again, thank you for today putting up with me
and me.
Hey, no.
My stuttering.
You're wonderful. The best fill-in guest anybody could ever have.
Thank you. Well, and I mean, you are just really finding your groove.
I'm finding
here.
My way.
But no,
you're
doing
and
well.
And then the whole
getting involved
and, you know, history that has passed me by for these 62 years. I had a birthday yesterday. 62. Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. So again, thank you. And we look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks.
Yes.
Which we hope will maybe on a Thursday, maybe on a Wednesday. We're going to have somebody very, very special if we can get this coordinated. And we'll let you know about that ahead of time. So have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And until 2 weeks, Ciao St. Louis from Les Dones.